Christians to worship and the study of God's Word. This is today's modern worship on WMIE FM 91.5.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the teaching ministry of Bible teacher and translator Dr. Paul Esposito and Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. Dr. Esposito is the translator of the English Majority Text, New Testament, as well as the Apostles' Bible, a modern English translation of the Greek Septuagint, Old Testament, both available through Amazon Publishing. And now here with today's broadcast is Pastor Paul.
Lord God Almighty, I thank you for all these listeners. I pray for my extended family, because everyone out here is family to me. I pray for my family. Watch out over them. Bless them. Send your angels around them and their children. Be with them, protect them, and deliver them from evil. Bless all that they do, Lord. We praise you now. Speak to us through your word. We listen for your voice. We listen for you, and your word is supernatural, and you're able to take even a text like this we're going to hear today and do great things with it, great things to us. Speak to us through your word now, Lord. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. I invite you guys to church this weekend. We'd love to see you. If you're new to the area or if you're looking for a new church, perhaps a church that follows the Bible or cracks open a Bible or sits under the authority of the Word of God, if you listen to this program, then other than the music, you know what to expect here. And our music is much more traditional. There's no electric instruments. We do a lot of hymns, and some modern, some traditional, and in a country style, and that's our style of worship there. It's not for everyone, but our people love it, and perhaps you will as well. As for the sermons, you know what to expect. So I invite you this Sunday morning to attend our service here at Island Community Church, 1000 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island. We're in Revelation chapter 16 today. Let me read some of these verses, as much as I think we'll get to here today, then I'll make some comments on these. Okay, here we go. I'm in my Bible translation. It's called the EMTV. That's on Amazon. If you want to purchase one, I've got 5 copies here myself. If you would like one, let me know. English Majority Text Version. Revelation 16:1. Then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the 7 angels, "Go and pour out the 7 bowls of the wrath of God on the earth." So the first went off and poured out his bowl upon the earth, and a bad and malignant ulcer came upon the men having the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. Okay, there's 21 judgments in the book of Revelation. We saw the 7 seals. Remember way back in chapter 6, where the Lord Jesus, remember, he was shown by the Lamb, as if it had been slain, or that Greek word there meant slaughtered, slaughtered Lamb. We understand the symbol. We understand the book. The Lamb is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So we had 7 seals. Then we had 7 bowls, and like the 7th seal introduces the 7 trumpets, and then the 7th trumpet introduces the 7 bowls. So there's 21 judgments altogether. We've gone through 14, and here we go now with the last 7 judgments. The King James Version has them as vials. I've translated that as bowls, as the New King James has. Okay, the first went off. This is Revelation 16:2. So the first went off. That's this first angel here. The angels are the ones that carry out the entire book of Revelation. All of the judgments of God are carried out by supernatural beings, angels. So the first angel went off, and poured out his bowl upon the earth, and a bad and a malignant ulcer came upon the men having the mark of the beast, and those who worshipped his image. Then the second angel poured out his bowl into the sea, and it became like the blood of a dead man, and every living thing in the sea died. Then the third angel poured out his bowl into the rivers and into the springs of water, and it became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters saying, "You are righteous, he who is and who was, holy, because you have judged these things. For they shed the blood of the saints and the prophets, and you gave them blood to drink, for they are worthy." And I heard the altar saying, "Yes, Lord God Almighty," that's Pantokrator, "true and righteous are your judgments." And the fourth angel poured out his bowl upon the sun, and it was given to him to burn men with fire. And men were burned with severe burns, and men blasphemed the name of God who has the power over these plagues, and they did not repent to give him glory. Just like we saw in chapter 9 that they wouldn't repent, now we see the same thing here. Is it possible that this is all going on at the same time? Sure it is. Is this possible that some of these judgments overlap? That the first and the first and the first all are simultaneous or might go on at the same time? Sure it's possible. Okay. So this first bowl is loathsome sores. Now, note the word in my translation, malignant. Like the dreaded question that's asked by cancer patients. They say, is this benign or malignant? Now, here the answer is malignant. The Greek word, epaneros. It's also the word that's translated in my Bible as malignant, and the Greek word behind the word malignant is the word paneros. And paneros gets what this word means, friends. It's a proper name for Satan. It's a proper name for the devil. Like when the Lord Jesus prayed, he said, "Deliver us from hoponeros." That is, deliver us, not so much deliver us from evil, but really the correct translation is deliver us from the evil. That makes that a person. Not so much deliver us from evil, like an adjective or something abstract. Deliver us from the evil one. That's how that should read. It's a person. And how apropos that the Greek word for malignant is a proper name for the devil himself. So this first bowl, bad and malignant sores or ulcers came upon everyone who had the mark of the beast and everyone who worshiped the image. Now remember, we've looked at this in detail the last couple of weeks. I have likened the image of the beast to the Frankenstein monster or the Terminator that's going to be terrorizing the countryside, forcing people to take the mark of the beast and forcing people to worship the Antichrist and forcing people to worship itself. Because remember this image, remember what image means. It's an exact copy of an original, like the reflection of the sun on the water. Like when the Lord says, "Whose icon and inscription is this?" They said, "Caesar's," or "John F. Kennedy on a 50-cent piece." So you're going to worship the Antichrist, you're going to worship his image. It's the express image of his person, just like Jesus is of the Father. He is the icon of God, the firstborn icon of the invisible God. That's Colossians 1:15, firstborn over all creation. Worship the Antichrist, you're going to worship this guy. And what the Bible's showing you here is that there's no repentance for this. You cannot repent for being deceived at the end of the age and taking the mark of the beast. Now here comes the judgment. Here comes the judgment for doing this. Everyone who has the mark and everyone who worships the image, it comes this judgment. He poured out his bowl upon the earth, and a bad and malignant ulcer, or as the King James has, sore, came upon the men having the mark of the beast, and those who worshiped the image, or his image. Verse 3. Then the second angel poured out his bowl into the sea, and it became like the blood of a dead man, and every living thing in the sea died. So that's number 2. The sea turns to blood. So number 1, loathsome sores or malignant sores or malignant ulcers was number 1. Number 2, bowl judgment. Number 2, the sea turns to blood. Now, I'm sorry for all the environmentalists out there, but this is the end. And I commend you for respecting and honoring and trying to keep, to the best of your ability, God's creation pure, because he has given that to us. That's our responsibility to guide and guard and protect this environment and what God's given us. So for that, I take my hat off to you. That's right. You've got that right. That's how it should have been. However, this is the end now. This is all sea creatures die, he says. Now, I think that most liberals wouldn't want to spend eternity with a God who would allow all the sea creatures to die. And I'll show you why. If that's you, you see, you've been tripped up. Let me show you. Romans chapter 1, verse 24, it says, God gave them over to uncleanness and the lust of their heart to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature or the creation rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. So there's the problem. When you worship the creation instead of the creator, now you see you're misguided. Now that's turned into idolatry. When you worship something or someone other than Almighty God, whether it's the created world or whether it's a person or whether it's something that you own, when you worship something other than Almighty God, that turns into idolatry. But I could see this happening. How about you? And I can hear that in the back of my mind. Any God who would allow all of the speckled trout and all the clams to die, any God that would allow that is no God for me. I don't want any part of that. I can just imagine that. And I would just say, worship God. You've been deceived. If you worship the creation instead of the creator, you've been deceived. God is Almighty God. This is his world. This is my Father's world. He rules and reigns, and he does as he pleases in his world. And this is the end. Finally, all of this is coming to the end here. Eternal life is all about him. Look, I promise you, if you belong to him, you will not sit around heaven and sulk all day long because there's no more clams. You're not going to sulk about that. And if you did, I truly would have to question your salvation experience. It's all about him. When we get to chapter 19, we're going to read the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. It's all about him. It's all about the triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Eternal life is about him. Peter said, to make your calling and election sure. Jesus said in John 17, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. It's all about him. Let's bow the knee to him today. Call him Lord. It's all about him. He rules and reigns in his world. On all we can do and the best we can do is get on our knee, bow the knee to the Son of God, and call him Lord, because he rules and reigns. And I just thank God that God demonstrated his love for me and that while I was still a sinner, Christ died for me when I was helpless. It says, and me he made alive who was dead, D-E-A-D, in transgressions and sins. I praise God that he died for me on my worst day. He rules and reigns. I bow the knee to him. I call him Lord. He knows best. He rules and reigns. This is my Father's world. He rules and reigns. I bow the knee to him, and I call him Lord. And I'm grateful that he's reached down and saved me. Now, verse 4. Then the third angel poured out his bowl into the rivers and into the springs of water, and it became blood, just like Moses. So, not only here in these bowl judgments, not only do we have what it is, but we also see where this is where on what object these bowls are poured out on. Here, they're poured into the rivers and into the springs of water, that is, all the fresh water. And it became blood. So that's bowl judgment number 3. The waters turned to blood. Number 1 was loathsome sores. Number 2, the sea turned to blood. Number 3, the waters also turned to blood. Verse 5. And I heard the angel of the waters saying, "You are righteous, the one who is and who was, holy, because you have judged these things. For they shed the blood of the saints and the prophets, not you, they. I don't even think you're around at this time. This is not for you. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. You, God, has not appointed us to wrath, but to the obtaining of salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. This does not have to be your future. For all who call on the name of the Lord," Jesus said to everyone out here who will hang in there, everyone out here who overcomes, "I will keep them out of the hour of trial that's going to come upon the whole world." This is not your lot. Salvation is your lot. Peace, joy, eternal life is your lot. This shouldn't be you. This is for everyone who has rejected the Son of God. This is their future. The day of grace has ended. You can no longer read, "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts." You can no longer read, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." You see, that's here today while you guys hear my voice on this Friday. Today is today. Now is now. When we get to this, the age and the day of grace has come to an end. This is the future for everyone who has rejected the Son of God. They shed the blood of the saints, and you gave them blood to drink, for they are worthy. That is, they had this coming to them. They were responsible for the death of the Christians. And I heard the altar, this is verse 7, I heard the altar saying, "Yes," or "Yep, that's true. Yes, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments." Number 4, starting here in verse 8, men are scorched by the sun. Then the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and power was given to him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God who has the power over these plagues. And they did not repent and give him glory. Now, by contrast, the fourth trumpet darkened a third of the heavens, but did not include this additional intense heat. It is clear from this and other prophecies that the dramatic changes in climate will occur in the Great Tribulation. And like I've said all along, climate change is real. You got that right, John Kerry. You got that right, Greta Thunberg. Climate change is real. But this is what climate change looks like. Peter says the whole earth, everything is going to melt with fervent heat. So yeah, you're right. It is real. But this is going to happen to you if you don't turn and repent and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. That's right. I give it to you. Climate change is real, but this is what it looks like. All of the God haters and those who refuse the Son of God are going to be scorched. The sun is going to be turned into a weapon, and it's going to scorch everyone who has rejected the Lord Jesus Christ and who has refused him, and everyone who obeyed the last end times government and did what the government told. them to do in order to buy or sell. And they worshiped the Antichrist. They worshiped the image. They received the mark. They did what the government instructed them to do so that they could continue to do business here in this world. Because the Bible says that you can't buy or you can't sell without doing what the last government's going to tell you to do. By contrast to our government today, which the Apostle Paul is plain and clear, Romans chapter 13, you do what the government says. You obey, let every soul be subject to the what the King James says, the higher powers, governing authorities. You do what the government says. You pay your taxes. You do what they say. But when they tell you to do something that's contrary to the word of God, when they say you pledge allegiance to me and you take this mark here so you can buy or sell, you do like what Peter said. We must obey God rather than men. Well, I'm not going to obey you. We obey God. Other than that, you listen and you obey. You obey the government, but not here at this time, not during this time here. You don't pledge allegiance to the Antichrist or take his mark. See, God says to all of the overcomers out here, I will give to you some of the hidden manna to eat. See, it's hidden. You can't find it, but it's stashed away somewhere, and the time is coming for everyone who trusts God and everyone who leans not on their own understanding, acknowledges him, trusts God. Let me speak to you here on this Friday. Trust God in the face of adversity. And I encourage you to trust God today when he makes your life difficult, because he's preparing you and your family for this time. So when that's why the Bible tells you that we rejoice in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces approved character like Abraham had when he grabbed that knife to slay his son. And God said, no, you don't. Don't lay a hand on him. Now I know that you will do what I ask you to do. Now I know. You see, that's approved character. It's trusting in God when you're going through trouble in your life. Trusting in God when you're going through adversity, like Daniel in the lion's den, like the three Hebrew children in the furnace. They said, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver. Then they said, but if not, catch those three words, but if not, we still won't bow down to your icon. We're going to trust in God. And then look what happened. Nebuchadnezzar goes, didn't I throw three people out here? And they said, yep. And he says, why is it I see four people there? And the fourth looks like Hoheos to Theo, the Son of God. Trust God when you're going through adversity and trial in your life. This is why, that's my parting words to you today on this Friday. Count it all joy when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith develops endurance. Know and understand here today as you head into this weekend that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And the day of Jesus Christ for you could be when you die and leave this world, or the day of Jesus Christ can be that blessed day when he cracks the skies and returns here, like two will be in the field or two will be in the mill and one will be taken and one will be left. The day of Christ, that glorious day when he comes and swipes you out of this world. Count it all joy when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith develops endurance. Endurance like David had when he slayed the lion and the bear. Then he ran up to someone 9'6", and he says, get this fool out of my face. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? He said, trust in God. When you're going through adversity, that's the message here. Call on the name of the Lord. He will keep you out of the hour of trial. It's going to come upon the whole world to test those that dwell on the earth. We're out of time. We'll be back again Monday. We'll pick it up right here in Revelation chapter 16 in our next program. Until then, you're listening to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
You've been listening to WGOD Radio, the teaching ministry of Dr. Paul Esposito from Merritt Island, Florida. To contact Pastor Paul, write to him at elected77@gmail.com. The church's website is islandcommunitychurch.net. The videos of Pastor Paul's sermons are available on our YouTube channel, Island Community Church. Be with us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
Gold is the best investment.
Watch these stocks rise over the next few years.
Real estate has got to be part of your portfolio.
All of those sound like pretty solid plans. But if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you have an even more important commodity in which to invest. Here's Billy Graham.
Time is the capital we've been given by God to invest wisely. So the question is, where do we invest it? God calls us to invest our time capital, our very lives, primarily in people, not in projects or possessions. You can't count your days, but you can make your days count. You can invest whatever time is yours for a high yield return in the lives of people whom you introduce to Christ. That's one of your jobs.
We have some resources that can help you with that job at our website, findpeacewithgod.net. Click where it says Grow Your Faith. It's from the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.